148. And here we read, praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his hosts. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all you stars of light. Praise him, you heavens of heavens, and you waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which will not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Yes, there were dragons, weren't there? Fire, hail, snow, vapors, stormy wind, fulfilling his word. Mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of all his saints, even of the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. I trust the Lord will bless our hearts with that precious truth and challenge. Would you remain standing with me for our opening prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we do want to praise you that we are able to be here today. We praise you for this time in our nation. This is the holiday weekend where we celebrate your magnificent blessings upon us. Oh, Father, how we thank you for this nation that was established with the beliefs in your word. And as we've been learning in the American Heritage Series, many pulpits, pastors were proclaiming the truth upon which our nation was founded, principles taken from the Word of God. And for about 150 years, our people knew that and they spoke of it. But Lord, in these past 50 to 75 years, a change has taken place, and we have had laws reinterpreted. We have had things taken away that once were so important to us, Bible reading and prayer. And we just thank you, Lord, that you have continued to bless us. We know it's not because we are deserving. We know it's because you are merciful to us. And perhaps like it was with Adam and the city of Sodom and Lot, perhaps, Lord, because there are enough godly yet in this nation, you have held back your hand of judgment upon our sin. Oh God, as we think of the song that we just heard from Judson, turn the tide, Lord. Start with us. Oh God, how we have turned from the truth and embraced ungodliness, wickedness, and perversion. I pray that you would speak to our hearts today through your word. I pray, Lord, that whoever listens to this, they would recognize that this is the word of God. This is not just merely a man ranting and raving, but that this is the mind of the Lord, the Creator, of heaven and earth and all mankind. As we look to see your original intent and your ongoing intent for mankind, may we be willing to embrace the truth. Lord, show us what we can do, how we can stand, how we can be a voice for the truth. To your glory we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. In recent weeks in Romans chapter 1, and that's where I invite you to take your Bibles and turn to, we've read about God's wrath directed manward in verse 18 of chapter 1. Why, some might say, is God's wrath revealed from heaven against mankind? Thought he was a God of love, he is. But he's a God of truth and justice and righteousness. That is his character. And we find that the reason God's wrath is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men, it's because man deliberately holds back or suppresses the truth. There, as it says in verse 18, he holds back the truth in what? In unrighteousness. He's substituted truth for unrighteousness, and God's wrath is revealed manward. Sufficient and unmistakable truth about God was revealed to mankind. We've seen that in recent works, in recent weeks, verses 18 through 21. But we saw man said no. Man declared himself to be wise, verse 22. But the truth is, in doing that, we saw, I think it was 2 weeks ago, he became a fool, and the word that is used there is the word from which we get our word moron. He became moronic in his thinking. He couldn't think clearly. And Proverbs tells us there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. When the truth of God was rejected, changes were made. Thus the title in your message this morning, Things Were Changed. Just a bit of quick looking back. Notice verse 23, the first mention of a change when man rejected the truth of God. We notice in verse 23, it tells us that man changed the glory of the incorruptible or uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man. Everything that man knew about the absolutely perfect deity, God had revealed it to him. It was replaced with faulty images of corruptible creatures. When did this start? It wasn't long after man fell and man began to reject the truth of God. And we find that instead of men continuing to worship God, man started worshiping everything else under the sun. Very simply, man, who at one time knew God, Romans 1, 19 through 21, became idol worshipers. Man became idolaters. And we saw in verse 24, because of this, or in response to that change, it says, wherefore God also gave them up. It's the first of three references to God giving. Three times man made a change, and three times God responded, moving in a certain direction. And here it says God gave them up to uncleanness. Now, God did not give up on humanity, but God did allow them to go deeper and deeper into sin. 2 weeks ago, our message title was, He gave them what they wanted. And that was exactly what God did. Man said, I don't want you, God. I want to worship this beast. I want to worship this creature. I want to worship this snake. I really want to worship man. I really want to worship man. And God said, if that's what you want, I'll just let you do that. And so we find that Robert Haldane said he relaxed his restraints on the fury of their passions. This was his justice manifested in giving up those who had dishonored him to dishonor themselves in a manner the most degrading and revolting. Now notice in verse 24 it says he gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their heart. This was uncleanness means lustful, profligate living. And we find in the rest of that 24th verse, in giving them up to uncleanness, verse 24 says, connected with that giving up, God gave them up to do what? And we did not emphasize this last week because of tonight, of today's text that was coming. But already we get a glimpse. He gave them up to dishonor what? Their own bodies between themselves. And Paul gave a hint of what's coming. The pulpit commentary says there is a natural transition from the deification of human or animal passions. When you want to make man or beast deity, there's a natural transition connected with that to practice the most frightful immoralities. The moment man begins to worship the man of genius and of passion, or begins to worship the lower creation by a natural law, he becomes lowered in the scale of being. And Paul brings out the outrageous lengths to which unrestrained licentiousness will go. End of quote. Notice, we've already pointed out in verse 24 some of those key words. When man would go unrestrained, what kind of key words? Dishonor, that's a key word. Dishonor their what? Their own bodies between themselves. And in a moment, we're going to discover what Paul meant by that. But once again, notice in verse 25, as we just quickly point out some things, verse 25, Paul spoke of a second change which was made by man. Man changed the truth of God into a lie. First, he changed the glory of the uncorruptible God. Then we see the second change he mentions is that man changed the truth of God, which he once knew, verses 19 to 21. Into a lie. And we find that he was committed to worship of anything. Anything. I will worship anything other than God. Well, this brings us up to speed for today, which gives me opportunity to give you, if you like to take notes, point number one. The decision God made in verse 26a. The decision God made, 26a. And here we find the second time it mentions God gave them up or over. God just said, if that's what you want, I'll just back away. I am not going to force you to do anything you don't want to do. This is what you want. This is what you're asking for. I'll just let you go that way. And so we find the decision that God made. In doing that, and we see that in verse 26a, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affection. Not that God makes men sin. Don't blame God for man's sin. But he abandons them to their own passions as a form of his wrath. He said, you want to live worse? You want to behave worse than even the beasts of the field? I'll let you do it. God gave them up to vile affections. We find that Wiest, in his exposition on Romans, refers to the Greek word that Paul used here. It appears that they were given over to a condition and not merely an evil desire. Think about that. They were given, God gave them over to a condition rather than just giving them over to desires. Man was going to do certain things. God said, you don't want what I want for you. You don't want the best that I have chosen for you. And you insist, and now remember, this is connected to verse 24. He gave them over to, in verse 24, uncleanness, and involved in that was going to be dishonoring their own bodies between themselves. And now we put a little more meat on the bones in verse 26. He gave them over to these vile affections. And that brings us now to number two, having seen the direction, or pardon me, the decision that God took in 26a. We notice number two, in 26b and 27, secondly, the direction that man took. When God said, okay, that's what you want, man said, yes, this is what I want to do, and this is the direction we're going to go. And here we find mentioned the third critical change that was made in verse 26. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is what? It's against nature. I didn't say that. God did. Even their women did change the natural use into or against nature. Against nature means contrary to that which, or at variance with that which is the natural thing to do and the natural use. Let me read for you some words from Oliver Green. That's a voice from years gone by. Those of you that are my age or older, we used to hear him on the radio all the time. And he had a very good radio program, Oliver Green. What do you mean? Why did Paul say, even their women? Here's why. Listen to Mr. Green. Woman is the purer and the more modest of the sexes. God made women to make this earth a sweeter place to live. God gave woman to Adam to make his life more complete. But now, since man has changed the truth of God into a lie, even the women became more than beastly and equaled vile, lustful men in their depravity. They changed the natural use into that which is against nature. God is not speaking of natural and normal appetites of the body, or even the abuse of those appetites, like adultery or harlotry. That is not what he's talking about here. He is here describing that state of unnatural appetites in which all normal instincts are left behind, and it is significant as originally the woman took the lead in sin in the book of Genesis. So here, Paul records it. Even the fairer sex, they change. He says in verse 26, the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise, and that, by the way, before I get on into the next verse, there are some that are saying, Paul's not suggesting what you're suggesting, Pastor. And I know all of you that are mature, you know what I'm referring to, and this is one of those passages of Scripture that with younger ears around, I have to be careful about what words I use. But we don't have any dummies here. You all know what I'm talking about with the women changing the natural use for that which is against nature. There are some, though, that would argue and say, well, that's really not what, you know, what you're accusing the woman of turning to. That's not what Paul is suggesting. Yes, it is, and here's how we know that, if for no other reason. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men. Just like the woman, women with women. That's not natural. Men with men. That which is unseemly. Not right. Not right. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was fitting. Now, I want to point out something. In these two verses, twice, in verse 26 and 27, woman, women is mentioned. Only two times in the Greek, the word that Paul used here is found in the New Testament, when he made mention to woman, women here. Well, what does it mean? It very simply just, it would translate in English, female. The female. And would it surprise you that the word that is translated men in our English language is not anthropos, the normal use for man? There is a second one that also refers to many times of man or mankind. There is a third Greek word, and that's what Paul uses here only three times in the New Testament, is that one. And you know what it means? It just simply means, right down bottom line, male. Male, female. There you go. They left that which was natural, and they turned to that which was unnatural. Paul doesn't even call them women in the sense of the feminine word that could be used. Paul doesn't even refer to them as men, mighty men. He just says the females and the males, they just messed everything up. Oh, how sin has distorted God's world. This word here, forsaking, when it says that men left the natural use of the woman, leaving, it means abandoned, omitted, neglected, forsook. Doesn't get much clearer than that, beloved. Sadly, we've witnessed a breakdown in our society. Behaviors that once were kept secret were shameful, disgraceful, unnatural, unacceptable, yes, perverted, are now accepted, open, applauded, encouraged, celebrated, praised, and even defended and legalized by laws in our land. What a tragedy. What a tragedy. The tragedy. It'd be nice if our nation was the only nation that this could be said of. It's bad enough. But my wife gets a weekly news feed online, and this one appeared June the 15th, 2018, from wayoflife.org. The big heading is Tel Aviv. Where's that? Where's that? Israel, God's people. Certainly they know better, don't they? Tel Aviv's biggest ever gay pride festival. Tel Aviv's 20th annual gay pride parade on June 8th was the biggest ever, with more than 250,000 in attendance. Israelis and visitors celebrate, quote, freedom and tolerance at the 20th annual event in self-styled most gay-friendly city in the world. I thought it was San Francisco. Not according to this. Cafes, stores, lampposts were decked with rainbow flags across Tel Aviv, with tens of thousands of tourists visiting Israel specifically for this event. Rainbow flags. Isn't it sad that what once was a sign of God's promise that he would, that his own people could trust him never to destroy the earth with a flood, has become the calling card of the perverts. And they have adopted that as their flag. How sad. How sad. But there's another thought as we think of our portion here in Romans chapter 1. We've seen the decision that God made and the direction that man took. But I also want to call your attention to number 3, the dilemma mankind has created. Verse 27, the last part of it. The dilemma that mankind has created. Mankind is reaping the results of God just saying, okay, if you want to live like that against nature and do that which is not right, which was not in my purpose for creating mankind, and go totally against all vestiges of morality, I'll just let you do it. But you know what? Galatians 6:7, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he what? Also reap. And God, Paul, under the inspiration, Paul wrote it right here. Thousands of years, a couple thousand years before the introduction of the recompense upon mankind. And I'll tell you in a moment what I'm referring to. He says he gave them over to do that which is against nature, and women, men with men. But notice, working that which is unseemly, not right, it is shameful. I don't care what society says. And I don't care when society says, but we can't help it. We were born this way. That is not true. That is not true. No one was born this way. It was a choice they made. Verses 19 through 21. To suppress the truth of God and turn to other things. And God said, Paul said, by doing these unseemly, these shameful, abnormal, perverted, in the Old Testament, God calls this activity that we were talking about, that we've been talking about, an abomination in Leviticus chapter 18. In chapter 20 of Leviticus, it was an activity that was punishable by death. That's what God thinks of it. But God says, if that's what you want, I'll let you have it. But you know what? You're going to have your cake, but you're going to eat it. You're going to reap the results. Because in verse 27, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was what? Fitting. They had it coming to them. That which was meet, they deserved to have consequences. What are you getting at? I'm referring to the dilemma that mankind has created. Recompense means a reward given in compensation. A reward. God says, I'm going to reward you for what you want. Immorality has always brought its share of diseases. You know that. Lasciviousness and immorality, there's always been diseases down from the history of mankind. But in the past 40 or 50 years, a new disease emerged specifically connected with this perversion. You know what they call it? AIDS, acquired immune something syndrome, deficiency syndrome, or the HIV virus, that's what's behind it. Well, unlike immoral diseases that man has dealt with down through the ages, usually doctors have been able to find medications to treat it and things like this. Guess what? There is no known cure for HIV virus / AIDS. Man's getting what he wants. And as we saw in that newspaper article, oh, they're waving their rainbow flags and they're proud of it, and they've pushed to get laws passed to protect them and to protect their rights in our nation. But in behind it all is this shadow hanging over it. They are getting what he says here, that recompense of their sin, which they've got coming to them. Forget about the disease factor. That the last 40, 50 years, this new one has emerged, for which there is no known cure. History has proven that no nation has ever remained strong when these practices that Paul is talking about were prevalent in the nation. Destruction always came from within as the moral fiber rotted and world powers and strong nations historically have fallen because its citizens have given themselves to the very sin that Paul said here in Romans 1, 26 and 27. Man changed the truth about God, and women changed the natural use, and God said, okay, I'll just let you. But no nation has ever been able to stand once its people have given themselves to this. Judson's song, turn the tide, God, help us. That's not the only dilemma that goes with this particular sin, is that it carries with it its own reward, the disease. But here's another fact regarding this sin that our society is so proud of and so protective of, and they want you and me to be tolerant of us. And don't ever say anything about us. Here's something else. Turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10. 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10, and I show you from God's Word, lest someone say, well, that's just the preacher's idea about this. 1 Corinthians 6, 9, and 10. Know you not, Paul said, don't you know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? That's a pretty marked statement to begin with. The unrighteous will not inherit or be a part of the kingdom of God. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, there's just immorality in general, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor, here you go, effeminate, there's what we're talking about, that perverted living, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. There's another description of this despicable condition that Paul is talking about in Romans 1, 26 and 27. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards. You see, people say, oh, you're one of those phobia people. You got phobias. You got hate phobia. No, it's not phobia at all. I'm just looking at God's word. And this kind of living is listed among things like drunkenness and other forms of immorality. My point is this perverted lifestyle, it's listed here. And Paul said, none of those are ever going to be in heaven that are practicing that as their lifestyle. They shall not inherit, he closes verse 10, the kingdom of God. Now, does that mean this is a hopeless situation for these people? Does that mean too bad? No, I offer you one fourth point. And here we find the deliverance that God offers these people. The deliverance God offers back in our text in Romans 1. What is the hope? What is the deliverance? Verse 16, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in that gospel message, is the righteousness of God revealed. Not his wrath. His wrath was poured out on his Son for this sin that we've been talking about this morning. Well, what makes you think that's a message of hope? Look at verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 6. After he has just enumerated these who will not be a part of or partakers of the kingdom of God, notice verse 11, and such were some of you. They're not practicing anymore. You are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Praise God! They were saved by grace through faith. And they turned their back on that sin. Second Corinthians 5:17, we close with this. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is what? He's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are what? They are become new. Yes. There's a new lifestyle. This is not just a lifestyle that someone has chosen and it's no big deal. It's a big deal, beloved. It's a big deal. God has much to say. There's much more. I could take you to the book of Revelation and show you that those who practice this lifestyle, they're on the outside. They're on the outside. They're not in. Oh, how it grieves me to hear pastors. How it grieves me to hear quote-unquote Christian organizations supporting. Yes, we ought to support these people who are bound head over heels in their sin. Not to agree with that. Not to make them feel good about it. We ought to be praying for them. Oh God, this person is trapped in a damnable sin. How can we reach them for Christ? Yeah, that's what our connection with them ought to be. Not pat them on the back. Not say, well, good for you. I mean, you've made your choice, I've made my choice. No. No. God help us. God help us stem the tide. Turn the tide. I don't care how acceptable our nation thinks this sin is. God doesn't. And may we stand for God's opinion and His direction. Shall we pray? Thank you, Father. We've seen some pretty wicked stuff this morning. Oh, what a tragedy that our nation praises participants of this. They wave their flags, they have their supposed ceremonies, men with men, women with women. Our nation doesn't even know what constitutes a real marriage anymore, it seems. But Lord, your word is so clear and plain. May we not back away from the truth because simply society accepts it. Give us courage to speak the truth for your glory and honor, I pray. Amen. I'm going to ask that we sing.